IVM.
Hi and welcome to Know Your Kanoon. This is Amber from Corpus Legal. And continuing our journey on the legal side, we'd be taking up the topics on goods and service tax. And in today's episode, I'll be breaking it down into just the basics of what it is and brushing on the basics of GST. And in the following series of episodes, we'll be covering up in detail about certain important topics of what goods and service tax is about. To start with, what is GST? So the initiative of GST is that it is called the Goods and Service Tax. It got promulgated in India in 2017 in the month of July. It has been done to ensure that the indirect taxes get synced up. Now, to all our listeners, what are indirect taxes? Indirect taxes are those taxes which you give to the government for the progress in providing of respective facilities. It is not directly taxed to you like income tax, for that matter of fact, and you pay it on purchase of commercial items or on supply or when there is a business transaction happening between two entities. That is just to give you a brief what GST is. Now, to look at it, why GST was needed in India. We've had a very complex tax structure since the independence in 1947, and it is not until 1990s that the service tax rules came into picture, the new ones, and everything got reframed with the economy opening up and the globalization and so forth, so on. There have been little changes making India more proactive in business regime, which opens up gates to the global economies. Howsoever, everything said and done, the old system which was earlier promulgated had so many taxes floating basis their respective states and regions that it was getting messier for ease of doing business. So GST was basically introduced to ensure that the ease of doing business picks up and we are able to generate more revenue and make it a happy place. Now, the earlier, some of the indirect taxes that existed earlier, and if I name them, were service tax, excise, customs, state VAT, CST, which is your central sales tax, and so forth, so on, the electricity and water cess and so forth. What GST has done is it has just combined all of these together and made it into one single tax regime, though with different rates, of course, which have been prescribed. So it has simplified the complexity which we were not able to handle with the backlog of cases, with like redundant provisions and like difficulty in claiming credit, and credit being the essence of the tax regime in India. Who can register in GST? Let's come to that. Like, what is the current indirect structure and what who can actually come under it? So GST is basically any business that has got an aggregate turnover of over 20 lakhs and in this country can opt for registering in GST and should. And in the northeastern states, which are called the special states, the monetary limit is 10. And by aggregate value, I mean the value which turns out to be the taxable value overall minus all the exemptions and benefits which are provided to individuals under the tax regime. And so does that is the registration part of it. Apart from that, there are certain other situations where registration is required for other parties that you can actually go up and look at what these provisions are, and I'll take them up subsequently in our next episode. So why GST is such a big deal? Let's look at those situations. First of all, it's a destination-based consumption. Unlike the older indirect tax regime, GST specifically is to be collected at the point of consumption where the actual service is concluded. The taxing authorities have thought of it very in a detailed way. Like, there were examples earlier that service, how can we tax service? And under service tax, we had made a separate regime to tax services, but goods and service tax has made it simple by saying that wherever this service or goods reaches in terms of destination, it is that. Also, it is a multi-stage tax, which means that GST is levied at different stages in case of a business transaction or a chain, which you talk about when a transaction takes place. So there is a lot of value addition to the products, including to the service when at each of its stages that are there. So it makes it more and more interesting to look at it. So GST basically comprises of three components, that is your SGST, CGST and IGST. To simplify that, let me go into the process where I say IGST is a combination of CGST and SGST, which means in case if an A manufacturer sits in state of Maharashtra and B, the supplier or the consumption-based dealer sits in Gujarat, then the service, when it flows from A to B, the charging tax here would be the integrated goods and service tax, which will have component of central goods and service tax and state goods and service tax, which will be equally divided. Now, also IGST, why I'm taking up IGST earlier, because it's got a broader frame. IGST is also charged upon something called as import. So in customs earlier, there were numerous duties that were charged when you would import something into the country, apart from the basic customs duty which was there, such as CVD and so forth, so on. CVD, I mean countervailing duty, whereas now it is just integrated goods and service tax, which is prescribed at a rate, plus the basic customs duty which is there, which is included. So every time we import and export, and probably just import, not export, we are going to charge IGST on all the items and the BCD, which was earlier not there, which is the basic customs duty which you have to pay. The concept behind CVD, countervailing duty, and so forth, so on, was to ensure that the Indian manufacturers are at par with the item which was being imported, and there was no discrepancy created amongst the domestic manufacturers, that the item which has come in, if it's more advanced than the local ones, then it's taxed at the same price and they're not given any undue advantage. So that is the story behind this. CGST and SGST, any case, are applicable whether I make an intrastate sale or whether I make, interstate sales. So they are any case components of IGST, as I earlier said. Coming to the point of when would the tax be levied? And I'm just brushing on all topics when I get into the detail. It is, so to give you an example, in earlier stages, you know, excise, VAT, CST, service tax, everything was levied when tax and services and goods were being supplied, and separate stages of tax were there. But under GST, the division, as I said, ended, and it became consumption based. And they said, you know, there will be a single tax bill which would be generated, because earlier there would be like separate bills for each of these services which were provided, and then they were difficult to collate to get credit as you would want to take it under the regime. Subsequently, what is to be seen important in this is that for GST, time, place, and value of supplier of really utmost interest, which means at what point the services have been consumed. So this is the overall brushing that I'm giving on GST. In terms of registration, let me take that up first. You know, registration is mandatory for a certain set of individuals, you know, which is like individuals such as casual taxable persons, non-resident taxable persons, input service distributors, and so forth, so on. What these concepts are, I'll just brush a little on that. Casual taxable person, meaning a person who is not a regular, business dealer, but does certain transactions in a periodical way. Non-resident taxable person means an entity like which does not have existence in India and does one odd transaction maybe, but then seeks to operate out of it. So he has to get somebody in India as a partner which would be registered. So even they have to get registered under GST. Input service distributors, the concept in service tax was quite distinct on input service distributors. I mean, you all know that one ISD registration was there, where in case services were supplied, all the credit which was there for each of the offices could be circulated amongst them if they had an input service distribution center. Now, under the current regime of GST, the input service distributor is required to be registered by each of the components that are there of the respective manufacturers to circulate the credit which is there. But it states, you need to have that registration in ISD, which is GSTR6, if I would say, the return to be filed, but I'll come on to that later on. But this is the concept of ISD under GST, so not much importance to it. What also GST does is, so to give you an example, I'll give a practical example how it helps. If let's say I am an ABC enterprise and I am registered in Maharashtra and I want to open 20 offices, now what I do is I take one single registration and I put these 20 offices under that single registration as additional places of business, and I can file my returns, etc., only from the principal place in a good way, which simplifies my other compliances under GST. Also, each of these places need not have separate registrations and a separate setup. They can function under this one administrative head in the state. So it gives more clarity, more simplicity, and less amount of returns. You imagine being registered under 7 types of law, which is your service tax for providing services, excise for manufacturing, VAT and CST for local sales, or intra-sales, inter-sales, CSTs for that. In that, you'll have to file separate returns. The amount of paperwork involved, the amount of time consumption which is there, these are some of the things that, that would really bother any business owner, and it was stopping individuals from actually opening up new businesses. Now, to say that, would you want to opt voluntary for a registration under GST? Well, it's a very tricky question, because if you comply with it, there is no harm in it. you definitely get to use the credit which you are availing. Also, small-time business individuals, because it's difficult for them to maintain the paperwork and circulate in terms of credit, because they are dealing with such dealers who do not provide them the so-called pakka bill. It does not make sense to get registered under GST, but I still recommend that in case a compliance has to be increased, for that compliance, that registration is required. What are some of the positives that you can take from GST, I think? And I tell all of the people around me that the positives are lesser amount of returns, firstly. Simplified and easy way of understanding the law. The script, if you read through, I mean, the earlier laws were very, very complex. GST, if you go through, is very simple. It's anybody could understand reading what the context says. Thirdly, what it is trying to do is it's trying to integrate. So another example of that is if two individuals try to claim a certain amount of credit, they need to mention that service in either of their returns when they file it. Earlier in service tax, people would raise bills on each other and fake bills and collective bills just without any basis and claim that. Now the accountability is a tad bit more, which is there. Also, as hurdles, I said, you know, for easy transportation, or having all those documentation under indirect taxation with you, if you're supplying your goods from point A to point B, now no longer you need to carry them. Like, you know, you can carry a single bill, which is called the e-way bill. It really helps you to go from point A to point B. And it really helps in just producing that. So the barrier and the NACA concept has died down, and transportation and freight, these are some major issues. You know, freight is a major issue you need to look at, because if the freight cost and transport costs are high and there are a lot of delays, it's difficult to run a business. And I've seen it personally in my so far small corporate career which I've had. So it makes more sense that now free flowing of commercial freight traffic is there. Thank you for listening to Know Your Kanoon. For more queries and questions, please contact me at contact@corpuslegal.in. Catch Know Your Kanoon every week on the IVM website or the app or anywhere you get your podcast from.
Do you have a night routine? Well, everyone has one. And the to-do list usually looks like this. Brush your teeth, set that alarm, get into your pajamas and switch off those screens. But here's one more to add to that list. Tune into the Positively Unlimited podcast for a dose of positive action and tips on how to build powerful mindsets. Episodes out every Monday on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you tune into podcasts.
Every week comes a show where three people come together to tell you about stuff they like. A movie, a TV show, a book, and other stuff. Tune in every Monday on the IVM Podcast app to IVM Likes. Batman approves this message. Thank you, Batman.